following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, Refuge family, good to see you guys. Welcome to today's Refuge Daily. I was just talking to Nicole, who does a lot of our everything. Actually, Nicole, thank you for doing what you do. And man, it has been such a week, right? I mean, it has been crazy. Oh my goodness. I actually just got back at Refuge. I haven't done one of these in a while here at Refuge. Just got back literally maybe like 6 or 7 minutes ago from a doctor's appointment from my son, Aaron. And so I was like, oh man, I gotta get back. I got a short one for you guys today, but it is so important. And I would say it's completely foundational to the believer, to you and to me. And I think there is a tendency sometimes for us to kind of move away from the foundations at times. And I think it's good to be brought back to those things. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read the whole thing, but we're going to focus on what it says towards the end. It says this, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." That end part right there. "But faith working through love." Let's not lose sight of that. "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." Pretty brutal, Paul. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Now, this is the area that I really wanted to focus on. I didn't want to just drop us off in the middle of Galatians. I wanted us to have kind of the full flow of thought as Paul is speaking. Verse 16, "I say then," so in light of what I just said, right? "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And then he continues, and he says, "Now the works of the flesh, they're evident." Everybody can see them, right? "Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those who make this a pattern of their life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amazing. Foundational for the believer. You have this idea, this truth, that there is the flesh and there is the Spirit. And if I am somebody who is walking in the Spirit, I cannot at the same time be somebody who is walking in the flesh or pursuing the things of the flesh. I love the list that Paul gives, the fruit of the Spirit, love. If you're connected to Jesus, your life should be exemplifying. It should be defined by your love for God and your love to others. I feel like today, man, I feel like this week, there has been maybe more opportunities than we've had in a while to love people that maybe we disagree with or to love people that disagree with us. And I think maybe somewhere in the mix, we've kind of got this love thing confused with loving those who agree with everything that we agree with. When the Bible is very clear and Jesus is very clear that love, we gotta do it. We gotta be about it, regardless if the person we think is deserving. Because here is the amazing and brutal reality: is Jesus died for us at our very worst when we were not lovable. That is when God said, "I declare you, you're mine." Right? Saves us. Loves us. I was talking to my wife a little bit earlier, and I'm like, if we could get this daily, if the church today, in the midst of so much division, not even just within the church, I'm just talking like our culture right now, man, is there's a lot going on. I mean, there's just so much happening right now, politically, racially. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And man, how cool would that be? How amazing would that be if the church, here at Refuge for sure, but I'm talking about capital C church globally, would be the beacon that it is called to be. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that we are salt and light. He doesn't simply say, hey, be salt and light to those around you. He declares it. And he says, if you are in me, you are the salt. You are the light. And so he's saying, live these things out. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. You will not go off the deep end. You're not going to do all these bad things, right? Because you are walking in the power of the Spirit. I was teaching on Wednesday to the high schoolers. We're going through a, talking about the Sermon on the Mount, we're going through a series on the Sermon on the Mount. We'll finish it right around December. This year we'll finish it. And this past week, we focused on the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about anger and talks about how it can be dangerous if it's unchecked, right? And he compares it to murder. He doesn't say it's the same thing, right? But he compares it, and he says there's judgment that leads to both, you know? And it starts in the heart. And so the question that I kind of left the high school kids with was, every single one of us deals with anger. How are we supposed to have victory over this? And I feel like the answer is simple. And maybe it might seem a little too simple, but the way that I told them is like, man, if we are plugged in, or John 15 would say, if we are abiding, if we are connected at all times to Jesus, and if we walk in the Spirit, right, we won't do those things. It's like if I'm saying, hey, if I'm walking to the right, I can't walk to the left at the same time I'm walking to the right. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. And I was explaining it like this. My son, I have two boys, right? Aaron and Judah. Aaron is now a little over a month. What the heck? That happened. and Judah is a little over a year and a half. Judah just started walking, And that is both amazing as a dad to see and petrifying. And I mean, it's so many different things, right? But he started walking and he loves it. He absolutely loves to walk, and he'll do this thing where my wife and I were either eating or we're sitting on the couch, and Judah is playing with his toys, and he stands up, just randomly stands up, and he looks at me or looks at my wife, and he just starts, like, he looks and seeing if we're looking at him, and as soon as we lock eyes, big smile on his face, and then he just walks to his mom, just walks to his dad. He doesn't break eye contact. Sometimes it causes him to fall a little bit, but he gets back up. He loves doing that. But there's something that he loves more than that. And I literally was just talking to my wife about this not even a half an hour ago. He loves walking with mom. He loves walking with dad, right? So he'll have his hand. If he's walking with me, poor guy has his hand like way up here and I'm breaking my back holding his hand, you know. But I hold his hand. Perfect example. We were at the doctor's earlier today and we were at the doctor's about a month ago. And Judah was holding my hand, holding my finger, and I'm walking him around the doctor's office. And there was a couple of times where he wanted to go back into this area where he was not supposed to go, not yet at least, right, where the doctors would then see him and do all that stuff. And but listen, because I was holding his hand and because my son was holding my hand, when he started going down a direction he was not supposed to go, I was able to redirect where he was stepping just by holding his hand. I guided him. And because he was holding my hand, he allowed me, his dad, to take the lead. He trusted me, right? And maybe in his mind, he didn't formulate and go, I trust dad. It was just, it might have just been like, well, dad's leading this way, so we're going to go this way, right? We have a tendency when we were younger to think parents know everything, right? Well, in this case, Judah was like, all right, dad's steering this way. We're going to go that way. And this is what I closed with on Wednesday. This is what I want to close with today. I feel like that is such a awesome God picture that he gave me of what it looks like to walk and depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God is guiding. God is leading, right? And there's definitely going to be times in our life, right? Maybe we've encountered it this week when our hearts have been prone to be anxious, to be fearful over stuff that's going on, to be angry about something, right? But just like my son, how he's holding my hand, and when he was going around or going in a direction that he shouldn't have gone, I redirected. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do that with us. And when we feel those nudges and when we feel convicted, like, man, don't push that down. That is God's grace in your life convicting you, right? Take that as an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent from that, right? Repentance is beautiful. It's not something to be like pushed away. It's like that is an opportunity to change and to turn right back to your Creator who loves you. And so my encouragement for you guys today, for myself, man, my heart needs this as well. And for the students that I encouraged on Wednesdays, let's be people who walk in the power of the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide us. And if we have a question of like, well, maybe, like, how do we know if we are being guided by the Spirit? We'll see Galatians chapter 5 again, where it gives you the fruit of the Spirit. Do our lives look like this? Are we people who are loving? Do we have any peace at all? Are we patient with, and not just with people, again, that we agree with? Are we patient with people, period? Are we loving towards people, to our neighbor, period? Right? Are we kind? Are we faithful? Are we gentle? Are we self-controlled? These are all indicators. Man, how am I doing? Right? So that is my encouragement for you guys. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for myself as well. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you're a God who gave us access to life, your word, Jesus. Father, I pray specifically for anybody that's tuning in right now, or maybe anybody that's going to listen to this later. God, would we be people who are so about your business? Would we be people, Jesus, who just walk and live in love in the way that you would want us to do it? God, I'm reminded in your word, it says that it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. It wasn't you shaming us into us repenting. We saw you as beautiful, and we repented, and we came to you. Father, there are people today that need that extended to them. God, would we be the extension of your love, your grace, your mercy, your long suffering, your patience? Would you make us people like that? Would we be a church that is like that? And talking about the capital C church, would the church globally be that right now in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of this political season, in the midst of all the unrest that's going on? Would we stand firm on who you are, who you've declared us to be, Jesus? And would we walk worthy? Father, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for being a God who loves us. We love you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Refuge. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.